gotta have it.
That was a different message.
Don't pull it too much, Dan.
Well, you guys come here often, same stuff, songs, the message, the testimony from that guy. But this is not a message. This is going to be more of a testimony of my life. I do apologize for the emotional part, but not completely, because the way God has worked in my life and just touched me and has changed me, it's overwhelming, you know? Like I said before, when I talked about the stuff on the back of that, I'm not a preacher. I don't do this for a living. I'm not a rocket science. I'm not highly educated, by no means. For those of you who know me, but those of you who don't, I quit school in high school. When I left school, I didn't have the ability to read and write. I didn't. So, for me to be here should be proof that it's God, not me. So whatever comes out is from God, not me. I can't take like Stephen Reggie of West. They can write stuff down. As God gives it to them, they can refer to notes. I can't. Me, I gotta depend completely on God. I don't have a great memory. He can hit me with something this morning, and a few minutes later, it's gone. So, I ask that nobody don't take offense to what's going to be said. Okay? Don't get condemned. That's not what God does. He doesn't condemn us for our sins, but He convicts us. And He is really convicting me of sins. But He's also forgiving me for my sins. Because I asked Him, I realized one day I needed to do that, to repent from my sins. And in the course of my life, I realized that when I first confessed my sins, they really weren't all, in a sense, completely washed away. And that is why I cut this diagram of the heart. What had happened in my life, this may or may not pertain to you, okay? But this is, I guess, in a sense, my story, what happened to me that the Lord showed me. I was born. Life started happening. So in my heart, life here, life over here, in a sense, this is You could call it before salvation. You could call that after salvation. And then life down here. You're probably asking yourself, what is that? That right there, the deep roots in the heart from life. And this side of salvation, okay, is was things that like happened to me. Almost like what that guy was seeing, that was fine. Okay, life things happened to me. Over here, these are things that I probably did after salvation. And they still hit me. I don't know if that ever happened to any of you guys, but it didn't. So, when God gave me this message, it didn't come all at once. The first thing that came was selfishness. I said, I don't know if anybody here else has been selfish, but I know I have. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. But I will ask you guys to be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Have you ever been selfish? And I'm going to share with you some of my selfishness. But before I do that, Jerry, can we do the Deuteronomy 10, 12, please?
Deuteronomy
1? Yeah. Yeah, Deuteronomy 10, 12. Before we read this, once again, one of the songs had the name of Moses in it. Here we are with Moses, okay? And the interesting, some of the interesting stuff about this, Moses got the Ten Commandments from God. And then when Moses came down off the mountain, he didn't like what he saw. And broke the tablets. Okay. Now remember, who made the tablets first? God did. Okay. What happened after Moses broke those? God wanted him to go back up on the mountain. But now, Moses has to chisel out the stones. Okay. I don't know if you can see it, but God did this first. Moses messed up, and now Moses has to do something. Okay? God did stuff for Dan. Dan messed it up. Dan has to do something. In 12, it says, "And now, O Israel, you heard that already this morning? What did the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear him, the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways." Not some. All. To love him. To serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And it's funny because you spin that chalkboard around. That's what's on the other side. This is just a continuance to what was spoke about before. To obey the Lord, commandments and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Weren't we talking about stuff like that earlier too? For our own good? Can we do things in our us up. Be sure of that I'm a more you guys, but I know I have. If I would just take with by the Ten Commandments, that the Lord gave us to keep us from so much pain and suffering that we didn't have to go through, how much better off would I be? You know? How much better off would the world be? To me, it'd be totally amazing. I'm just going to skip to him really quick. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. It is a tough one. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet. Lord, instead of giving me this, there's certain commandments that really got to me that I broke. And before I go any further, I want you to know that He showed me that no matter what commandment I broke, every one of them should in fact be the same. And I didn't realize that at first, because they didn't. If I have another God before me, it should hit me just as hard. When just and this is what you have because I'm guilty of that. Guilty of murder. Say this to somehow anybody who has allowed life to look in your heart and make you do things that you should not do. I wanted to step the lack of godliness. I didn't know who God was. I wasn't brought up in the church. I wasn't taught who God was. You know, that's why it's so important to teach these children about God. You know, to support one another. Thank you, Peter. I do apologize to a point about this, but it breaks my heart what I did. You know? What's hidden in your closet? Did you guys have stuff hidden in your closet? That maybe you need to get out? And I'm not saying you need to do this. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think God wanted me to do this. But I'm telling you how important it is to do it. And I know Reggie can testify that when you hold stuff like this in you, what it does to a physical part of your body. And I'm not saying that some are sick or ill because of this, but I can't tell you that's not the reason either. That could be the reason that you're having physical problems. It may not be because of murder. It could simply be the fact that you have some of the God before you, or you haven't truly repented from it. These things are real. This is reality. These words are reality to our life. I had a slight problem with anger. It was so little that if my coffee maker didn't have water in it, it would make me mad. That's a little abundance of anger, I think. I mean, come on. Should your coffee maker be empty, make you mad? I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, somebody pulls out money. Does that upset you? You know, I mean, what makes you mad? What triggers you? What will trigger? Can you be honest with God and yourself what does? You ever wonder why? That's what I did. It took me a long time to get deep down into these roots and get this stuff out of me. It wasn't easy. It's painful. I had to admit a lot of things about myself. I had to realize that. That it's not man who makes the rules. It is God. And He made them for our own good. He didn't make them to punish us. And sometimes we just get so confused. This idea. I misunderstand things sometimes. I go the wrong way sometimes. You know? I mean, it happens. That's still life. But if you're connected with God, and you want to hear His word, He'll catch you, and He will stop you. And you can change. You can change those things. If you want to, if you can see it. Like this particular one, I didn't even see it at first. This happened way back when I was 16. And it tormented me. I mean, it's only been maybe 12 years since I come to this realization. So that was there for many years, without even realizing it. So, who knows? Maybe sometimes you get offended with what somebody says. Maybe that's the thing you gotta work on. I know for me, that was some of the things. I remember sitting in the chair, listening to a preacher preach. He'd be like, who does he think he is saying that about me? You know, he's always giving a message. You know, because it was something in here I couldn't see. But thank God he said it. And thank God I listened. And went after God to help me with that. God wants us to live a spirit-filled life. Well-being. And it's for your own good. We see how good God is. Right? And He is. But do we take the initiative to really get into God and see how good He really is? I'm telling you, He is a wonderful God. He will set me free from anything. I don't care what it is. Adultery is
a twist.
I mean, who sits here in the guilt of adultery? Who's letting that torment you? It doesn't have to. Break free from it. Confess your sin. David, where are we going to go eventually? We're going to go to Psalms with David. Wasn't he mentioned today? And it was really weird when I wrote these down. Selfishness was first. This was second. With well-being. And then, for your own good came. And then, we'll keep you from that. I don't understand why they came that way, but it did. Oh, and by the way, I forgot about that. This is the name of, if you want to call it a message, dig deep. Dig deep in that heart. Don't be afraid. You're a child of God, right? Who's got you? God. He'll get you through it. Trust me, if you can get this guy through it, he can get into you from it. I broke every one of these. It's not one I missed. Hooray for me. He's got me through every one of them. I really kind of hate to disappoint, but it ain't going to be a very long message. It's really not. It's going to be very short. I would like to say sweet, but it may not be sweet right now. But I'll tell you this. You take the initiative. You ask God, like what David said, search my heart, O Lord. Show me the wickedness. And He will. And when that gets cleaned up, and that gets out of you, that is sweet, my friend. It is so sweet. I'm not going to say this is why. But this is what I believe. The joy of the Lord is a free gift. The peace of God is a free gift. And I really believe that why most believers don't have it is because of this. That inside of us would prevent the fullness. I'm not saying you can't have some. And I'm not saying you won't have some peace, because you probably will. But I am talking about the absolute fullness, that joy and that peace. You just like, oh, life is so good, no matter what comes at you. No matter what storm, no matter what trial, no matter what tribulation hits you, you will endure. Because you got your feet are planted on the rock. Because you got rid of that. What did Jesus tell us? Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. Do you think Jesus' cross, when He had that on His back, was heavy? I can guarantee you it was. That was an easy task. Following Christ is not going to be easy if you're carrying your cross. And what did you say in Matthew? He says, Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Okay? His burdens are light. That means you're going to have burdens of following him. Why else would he say it? We're going to have burdens. So you got things from God himself. You got the cross. You got Jesus' burdens. You got the enemy. Let's not forget him. The enemy's going to get in. He's going to attack. He wants his fair share of us. You know, he wants to destroy us as much as he can. And then, we have ourselves. And I'll tell you right now, the worst one I would have to say was me. The stuff that I did caused most of my pain, most of my affliction. And I even dare say, a lot of my health issues. I mean, I'd love to blame it on Satan. Maybe I could even go, oh, Lord, you said I'd have burdens. Lord, you said, carry the cross. But all that is pushing the blame someplace else. Maybe a little more selfishness kicking in. But I can't. Well, I can, but I won't. I'm going to take blame for myself. And like that other guy, that father, when he said that, that blew me away. Because that man's 100% accurate. You want to get rid of some stuff? Apologize for what you have done. And I mean, really mean it. Just don't let it be some whim thing. You know? I mean, let's go to David. Let's go to the Psalms 32. I just want to touch on how words can hinder, not hinder, but guide our feelings and emotions almost in the wrong direction. I got this bookmark. It's from CBN. And in Psalms, this comes out of Psalms when you're singing, and it says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will
advise
you and watch over you. I don't know about you, but if I just read that, that sounds so nice. I mean, and it is in a sense, but if I just focus on that, and not the rest of it, I'm going to miss it.
Yep.
What's really being said, my feelings and emotions are going to carry me in the wrong direction, because I could look at this and say, I can ignore the Ten Commandments. I can walk any way I want. You know, God's going to take care of it. Well, trust me, He will take care of it. I know for a fact. That you can take to the bank, Bridget. But David writes, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Imagine that. Sins being covered. I mean, I bet you we all want that. You know, I mean, we kind of like to keep them stuffed in that closet. You know, we might want to kind of stop them down here. But unfortunately, they can't stay there. They're going to come out. They should. But God's still got it covered. Even though I can stand here before you, and I can tell you that I broke every commandment, all 10 of them, God's got me covered. Amen. He's covered my sins. They're out in the open. But how can they be covered? Because God covered it, not humans. Okay? We still see them. God doesn't. That's the beauty. We gotta start focusing more on what God sees, what God wants, not what we think He wants, and not what man perceives we should see. Because I'm telling you, man has destroyed it. We really have. We've blown so many things out of proportion. We've got so many people's hearts and minds confused and strayed from the Word of God. It's unbelievable. Okay. I gotta get my wife, my eyes cleared up. I can't see, so I don't. Trying to find the word covered. All sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sins the Lord does not count against him. David knew. David actually, see, he came to repentance. And that's why he can say this. You know, if we don't come to repentance, I'm not so sure if these words really mean anything. That's something to think about. And I mean deep, some real deep thinking. And whose spirit is not, what's that? What is D-E-C?
Deceit.
Deceit. Thank you. When I kept silent, my bones withered away. You know? I know that feeling. I know it all way too well. I had a sin that I kept quiet for over 20 years. I thought that I could bury it. But you can't. You can try. It'll catch up to you. All I'm doing is letting you know what's happened to me. You can go take your chances. I wouldn't recommend it because I didn't. Let me be your guinea pig. You know, learn from my mistakes. A wise person learns from somebody else's mistakes. I wasn't very wise. I had to learn on my own. But I won't forget it. When I kept silent, my bones withered away. Oh, my groan all day long. But day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. If you continue to keep that sin buried, at some point, God's hand is going to come heavy upon you. Who knows, maybe there's somebody in here right now that's struggling with something like this. And you haven't confessed. This is your warning. This is your wake-up call. You can either take it and go to God, or you can do like I did, and you can bury it. But I'm telling you, you'll only bury it for so long. I don't know how long that'll be. But it will catch you. It catches up with you every time. If you're with God. It is different, I think, for a non-believer. They have their things. But a believer, God holds us to a higher accountability. Yeah, I know it's going to make me very happy sometimes. I'm sorry, I lost track again.
Yeah.
I'm so blurry right now. Then I acknowledge my sins to you. And you did not, when I did not cover up my iniquities, I says I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave me. To me, this last piece is the best. The guilt of my sin. I'm telling you what, man. When those deep roots started breaking off and coming out of me, and that particular few words hit me, the guilt of my sin. You want to talk about when you say you go to the cross and you get these burdens, like on Pilgrim Progress, they show these burdens, all these things on this guy's back, and he went before the cross, and all of a sudden, boom, they dissolve it on the way. Well, that's probably true in a sense, but I know for myself, it didn't fully come out of here. But when this happened to me, when I did this and I went before the Lord and I didn't hold nothing back, and I went to the people that I had to go to confess, then that's when I was lifted. That's when the burdens really came off me. The guilt of my sin. That was a glorious day, I'll tell you. Therefore, what? Everyone who is godly, pray to you, where you may be found. Surely, when the mighty water rises, then we will not reach him. What does that mean to you? To me, what it means is as long as you have the time to do it, you reach God before that water rises too high and you can't reach him. And you ask yourself, is that even possible? David thought so. I don't know. But it sounds to me like David thought so. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And he does. He does. Then the Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Remember I read this earlier, the same thing, but just a few words have changed, just a little bit. And I read it with these words, it does not give me that warm and fuzzy feeling like this does, just by the word. I don't know if that happens to you guys, but it does me. So I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Okay. And now, this is the point that God really wants to make to us. Number 9. He says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which has no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. I won't say anybody in here is like a horse or a mule. I will tell you what one time I was, but I will ask you the question, are you like a horse or a mule? And even sometimes I can be. You know, that's a very valuable point. Sometimes I still can be. But if you are, what's going to break us from that? What's going to get you and me just to go to God? That's what we got to do. We got to just go to God. We do our part, He does His part. God says, you draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. We don't draw near to God, does He draw near to us? I don't see a scripture where it says that. Do you want God to draw near to you? Do you want God to change you? Do you want God to get stuff out of your heart that's in there that you don't even know if it's there? Say nothing about the stuff that you may even know that is there? Do you really want that? Do I really want that? If so, the only way, regardless to what people say, the only way is to draw near to Him so He can draw near to you and draw near to me. We need to be holy and righteous. That's what God has called us to be. Don't think you have to do it perfectly. David didn't. Me and David got a lot in common. I found out over the years, not so much on the holiness and the righteousness, but the sin. You know, more than I really want to admit, but I got it, because it's true. So I know for a fact that I need to step up my holiness and righteousness from God, not Dan. Dan doesn't have any without Him, but He's living in me. And if He's living in me, if I'm His temple, if I'm supposed to be like Jesus, then I need to step it up. And I'm not afraid to admit it. I mean, I might as well. God already knows. And, I mean, I want to be frank, I guess it really don't matter to the rest of you. Right? I mean, there's nothing you can do to me, there's nothing I can do to you.
Right.
You know, as far as that goes, but except encouraging one another. Try to help one another. You know? I mean, if you see me doing something that's ungodly, can you be the brother and sister in Christ that I need to tell me? You know? I mean, I'd appreciate it if you didn't come up and just start yelling and screaming. You know, I'm not that big-headed. You know, a kind word or, I mean, a bold word. I mean, we're supposed to be bold with one another. And can I do the same to you? If I see something, if I don't go yelling and screaming at you and just see something you're doing that doesn't seem right in the eyes of God, I mean, is it okay? Or are you going to get offended? And if you do get offended, can you hold that back? I would think that by now, most of us would have enough Christ in us where we could do that. I really do. And if we don't, maybe we really better take a good look at ourselves. You know, like I said, this is not to condemn anybody. This is convict. Conviction is good. I mean, it's good. It is really good when it comes from God. And when we listen to it, and we go forward with it, it's such a blessing. Such a blessing. So before I close, I'm going to ask you, take the Ten Commandments again. Just one more time. Go through them with God and ask Him if there's anything there that you've done that you need to confess. If there's any way in your life that you're living that you shouldn't be living. God needs us. He needs us on this earth doing His work. He wants us. That's such a privilege. I know for me it is. God wants me Really not. Ain't no different than anybody else. I do want to add this. This bugs me a little bit. Who came up with the idea of classes of people? And it struck me the other day, I saw a thing in Titanic. You had your first class, your second class, and your third class. Whose bright idea was that? Yeah, you got that right, same. I'd like to know who the idiot was that went along with it. Because I'm telling you, there's only one class of people. There's only one. Well, if we see it that way or not, I mean, even the rapist, the child molester, those two are like my pet peeves. And I know that's an issue to me, because God doesn't see it that way. This is still one of my imperfections. Okay? They're not a lower class of person in God's eyes. He loves them just as much as He loves everyone here. We can hate the sinner, but you cannot hate the sinner. And that's a tough one. I mean, I'll admit that. That is tough. Especially in certain things in my eyes. But I'm working on it. I know I gotta work on it. I gotta get better at it. I know that. And I am. I'm trying. I mean, you gotta be holy. You gotta be righteous. And we gotta show God's love. Thank you, Father. Now, Red was just asked me if I could clarify a little bit more. Like, when this girl that I got pregnant, when her parents came to me to convince me, they were not godly people. They were not really men. That was from the enemy. That was the enemy using them to get to me. And of course, I wasn't saved either. So it was pretty easy. So I guess if this, so make sure I get it right, Rich. So don't take that out of context. It is the enemy who does this, who does that. I was foolish enough to listen. I ended up being selfish by listening. You know, give the enemy his due, but I gotta take mine too. Well, close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for what you can do in our hearts and our minds if we draw near to you. Lord, you put some stuff out here for us to really think about, to really look at. And God, I know some of these people, and they will. God, I thank you that they're going to take it to heart, and they will take it home. They will look at themselves for your glory. And Lord, I know that you're going to do breakthroughs in people's lives, and I thank you for this. God, I just thank you for all you do and all you can do. And Lord, we just want to thank you and love you for everything that you are and what you stand for. Amen.
Very good, Dan. I think the reason I